Welcome back. I'm Guru Catherine, and today we're going to be talking about counter quantum, what it is, why it is a brand new up-and-coming industry, and where my interests in it are, and what other people may or may not be doing out there. Quite the salacious topic, actually, whether you're a tech nerd or not, so stick around for this one. If you have thoughts, questions, or ideas, you can text me directly at my website at CatherineColleen.com. That's linked in the show notes. And let me know what you would like me to address, technical topics, personal development, spirituality, crypto, blockchain, or anything else. Let me know. So if you're new here, I talk about all of these kinds of topics, so buckle up, because today is all about counter quantum. So let's start with what quantum computing is and why we would need to counter that, or why we would want to counter that. And isn't it a good thing? And the short answer is, yeah, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. It's a tool, right? Just like artificial intelligence, quantum computing is computing which is based on other than, I'm trying to make this, what's the simplest way I can explain this? Current computers are based on bits, which are binary. Each one is either zero or one. And that is done in a way that right now you can actually get very fast computers, obviously. Look at what I'm doing, filming this video right now. You can get some pretty impressive stuff, and there's certainly even faster capabilities out there. But when you move into quantum computing, you're moving into, instead of using bits that are either zero or one, you're using qubits, which can exist as 0, 1, both, and sometimes none. And although that seems like a weird little thing, it's got a lot of huge possibilities for massively, and I mean drastically, increasing the computing speed and capability of a given computer. And at the moment, these computers are they're pretty young in their capabilities, but not as young as you might think. Everybody thinks of quantum computing as being so far off. You know, they think about when the computers that we're used to today were these massive machines and these giant racks that had to be programmed with punch cards. And if you're too young to remember that, then I envy you. But so it took decades for modern computers to go from these gigantic things to these convenient little things that we just carry around in our pockets. You know, there's more capability on this phone in my hand than there was on the giant racks of computers that I used to play underneath when my mom was studying for computer science back in the day. We won't say how far back that was, but it was far back. Today's quantum computers are in that development period where they are enormous, physically huge beasts of machine, because you have to keep the qubits really, really cold. And so people think of them as being in this research phase, and they think of them as being 10 years away or 15 or 20 years away from doing anything effective. So I want to stop everybody right there to say that if they're not already capable of taking actions, real effective actions today, then I actually think we're less than 2 years away. So I work with all kinds of different companies, venture capital firms reviewing the technologies that they might be investing in. I work with technology companies to review their program plans for whatever technology they may want to develop. And I know for a fact that there exist people, and I can't say who, and I can't say how, because of NDAs, but I can say that there exist individuals and organizations in the world who could, in the next 2 years, pull off the ability to use quantum computing to break common encryption out there, like SHA-256, which SHA-256 is probably one of the most commonly used encryption algorithms out there today. It's pretty much every website, every bank that you log into is using SHA-256 to encrypt your password and your data And if you're not frightened yet, you should be. So within about 2 years, easily, if not already, because if I know people that can pull it off in 2 years, then I guarantee somebody else in a different part of the world has already pulled it off. So the first thing that comes along that quantum computers would most likely be used for is breaking encryption. Breaking the kinds of encryption that keep your data safe on the internet right now. And we rely on these. Everything that when you send your password from your laptop to your bank's website, you are relying on the encryption of that password and the encryption of your account data that it's displaying for you. Well, what happens when you really no longer have that privacy? So the first thing that quantum computers will be used for is breaking SHA-256. And what does that mean? That means that your passwords are no longer effective. That means that all of your passwords for anything you ever do, that SHA-256, which is for most people everything you do on average, no longer mean anything. They're not going to stop anybody. They can crack it very, very quickly. Now, why would they want to crack your passwords? Why would they want to get into your data? For the same reason, you know, identity theft, ransomware attacks. There's all kinds of fun you can have with that. So, point being, don't think of quantum as something that's 10 years off. It's not. It's right here, right now. And if you have not been victim of the encryption-breaking capabilities of quantum computing yet, you will be in the next couple of years, I predict. So, enter the field of counter-quantum. What does that mean? Counter-quantum, instead of researching how to create quantum computers and how to create algorithms that run on quantum computers to do things like breaking SHA-256, counter-quantum comes along and goes, well, okay, these computers are going to be reality shortly, if they're not already, in terms of being really, truly operational and being used for things in the real world, as opposed to just in a research lab. So what can we do to prevent that? What can we do to prevent a quantum computer from breaking encryption algorithms? So counter-quantum is going to include things like creating new encryption algorithms that a quantum computer could not break. In fact, there are algorithms, there are encryption algorithms out there that already exist that quantum computers will not be able to break. And the trick behind that, an algorithm, an encryption algorithm being quantum safe, is that it has to have a seed. And I want these videos to really be for everybody, so I'm going to pause for a moment and say a seed is, it could be a set of words. It could be a set of letters and numbers. You know, they may be intelligible words or they may not be. You know, in the crypto world, we often see like a 12-word phrase or a 24-word phrase. It's just sort of random assemblage of words that becomes the seed that's used to then encrypt a password or account information or transaction information, things like that. So if the seed is big enough. So SHA-256, as we explained before, is used for pretty much everything on the internet today. Most of anything. Not a lot in the crypto world because, well, you know, we're smarter than that. We see it coming. But if that seed is big enough and SHA-256 uses a 256 character seed, hence the name, if you make that seed big enough, then a quantum computer will not be able to break the encryption. And there are some other techniques that you can do. So it can be done, and it has been done, and there are algorithms out there that exist for encryption that a quantum computer could not break. But the adoption of those across the internet is not really there yet, because everybody keeps thinking it's so much further out than it really is. But such things do exist. So that's part of counter-quantum, is creating quantum-safe encryption algorithms. Once you've got quantum-safe encryption algorithms, that helps you to protect yourself from quantum computers being used to break encryption and get into your sensitive data. And there's all kind of cool ways to do that. Now, the other side of this coin, and you're like, where's the salacious stuff? Well, here it comes. The other side of counter quantum is the art and science of understanding when, where, and how a given specific quantum computer is operating and taking action to stop it, to prevent it from operating. I know, sounds like a Marvel movie, doesn't it? Maybe that should be. There you go. There's a free one, Hollywood. So, Iron Man and the prevention of all quantum computing. So, counter quantum, if you cannot easily protect necessarily from the things that that quantum computer can do, you might actually try to prevent that quantum computer from functioning physically. And this actually gets a lot deeper than you think. And you might think, oh my gosh, are you suggesting sabotage? Yeah, and I wouldn't put certain government entities that I used to work for past it. But certainly, sabotage is an option. But I actually think it gets a lot more interesting than that in the counter-quantum world, because the way that quantum computing works, requiring the entanglement of multiple qubits, and you may be entangling, and this goes down, this is the reason it's called quantum, is it gets down to quantum entanglement, which is between, it could be between photons, it could be between electrons, it could be between, take your pick, but I've seen both, especially photons, that's an interesting one. This entanglement between these particles, and you can have mutual entanglement. You used to think of them as just entangled pairs. But no, actually, if you've been tracking the research, you can see, what have we gotten up to? Over 1,000 entangled photons. Did I get that right? Correct me if I'm wrong in the comments. But mutually entangled, an entire group of particles mutually entangled. And using that as the qubits, using those particles as the qubits. So because of the nature of how a quantum computer works, it opens up some options for disabling it that you don't have with a regular computer, right? So let me explain. So and these have yet to be tested, because this is a whole thing. It's a whole industry that's going to be coming up, and whole sets of research that's going to be coming up. And if you're working in this area, let me know, because this is big fun. So for example, if you just take a typical laptop as an example, and there inside the laptop is the CPU doing its thing and making calculations, and the software is running and the hard drive is running and everything's running there inside this box. And from outside this building, there's really not much anybody can do other than cut the internet to prevent, even then it won't prevent this particular computer from sitting here and running its software, right? There's nothing you can do from outside the building to stop this computer from running its software. You would have to get at this box, this computer right here. In the quantum world, that is not necessarily the case. There may be things you can do from outside the building, even from beyond the borders of the country in which it's running, in order to disable the machine itself. I'm just going to leave that one out there and walk away. So this is a really, really fun. So counter quantum is anything that someone might do to protect against the negative things that quantum computing could do, or to actually work against a quantum computer to get it to stop functioning or to get it to stop doing particular tasks. So that's a fun world of counter quantum, kids, and that's part of what we'll be moving into our future. So we have AI coming, we have quantum coming, and therefore we have counter AI and counter quantum coming. Very fun stuff. So I'll be kind of tracking those sides of the industry, because I think, well, it's just a lot more fun. All right, thanks for joining me this time. send me your thoughts and questions and ideas. Let me know what other topics you want me to dive into. And here's to your own personal journey and all the technical fun that it might entail. See you next time.